Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus isn't asking a gay person to change and be straight. Did you know Jesus is a pretty nice person? He's the Son of God. And part of the deal of getting to know him is that there's some interesting things that happen. In some circles in Christianity, you call it Pentecostal. And Pentecostal is just what it means in the book of Acts, where it says that they are all standing around. There's 120 left, the 500 that saw Jesus raised to heaven. 120 were left. And these people were praying for all this time and waiting. And the Holy Spirit came on to them, and a phenomena started in Christianity. And this is what you hear when you hear that people talk in tongues or speak in tongues. They speak with a different language they never learn. What happens is mankind, people, can baptize you in water. When you accept Jesus Christ, you should seek to be baptized in water. Now, you know, for me, this is not a really critical situation. It's really important. It's your relationship with Jesus and your commitment to him and your honesty about it and your relationship building with Jesus Christ is involved in this symbolism of getting baptized in water. Now, some people want to sprinkle or, you know, drop a drop or two or something, or some people do get you when you're just a baby. Well, you know, there's only one thing that you got to know is when you're dealing with Jesus, that the actual thing that you're dealing with is your own acknowledgement. That means you are aware of what you're doing. Now, if you're not aware, like if you're a baby, it means really nothing because it's your choice, not your parents' choice. So, hey, you know, who cares what they do? You know, it gets a nice little certificate signed down there that you were sprinkled or something when you're a baby. Well, you know, some religions do this and some are wrong completely. And some of them, you know, they're just doing it because wishful thinking, if they're doing their kind of thing symbolically, as it were, to dedicate, commit their child to God. And it could have some halfway decent, legitimate reason, but to be baptizing them because Jesus said, baptize, you know, they say you get baptized, so you go around baptizing people. All this doesn't mean you baptize somebody that had no clue what you're doing. You have to have an idea what's going on. And so when you, usually that happens when you get saved and you start reading the Bible and you're hearing people talk about it. They call them preachers and sermons and stuff like that. And you begin to learn things and you find out, you know, this is one of the things you do is get baptized in water. And then you go through this whole thing, you know, that depends on the circumstance. You can go in there in your bathtub or something, or you can, yeah, put a drop or two on you. But you see, one of the things that if you have the wherewithal to do it, the way that it kind of means, you know, the whole purpose and the point of baptism is what you're showing is when, you know, Jesus died. Then he got buried. Then he rose from the dead. So through the death, burial, and resurrection, is what the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just a regular old water baptism is. And so if you're sprinkling, that's not too much of a burial. Maybe it's okay with you. For me, it's not okay. Baptism is you get dunked, man. That's all there is to it. Does it matter who does it? Do you need your priest? Do you need your pastor? Do you need some deacon or something? No. If somebody believes in Jesus, then they can baptize you. There's no rule that says some special person person needs to baptize. It's better if you know what you're doing in that you're able to explain to the person, if you're telling them about it, that this is the death, burial, and resurrection, symbolically, of Jesus Christ. There can be some neat things happen when this happens. If you're in amongst Pentecostals, as it were, like the Assembly of God or some other churches, you're already hearing probably something to do with speaking in other tongues and also the Holy Spirit. They might even tell you the Holy Spirit might come on you and you might come out of the water speaking in tongues. Well, yes, sometimes when you get baptized in water, you end up getting baptized the Holy Spirit at the same time. You know, that's pretty neat about Jesus. He doesn't have a set of rules to follow that he's going to say, I'm going to do it this way every time. Now, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We like to say this about God all the time. We can bring up the scripture that shows it. That doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to go through a certain ritual every time to make it happen exactly the same every time. You're going to make it so you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to figure it out. You're going to have to really want it. Or you're just going to get it. Go figure. Whether you're looking for it or not or something, you know. So there's not any specific kind of rule that God is going to go by. You don't have to be sweet, wonderful, really obedient, as a lot of us think it is, Christian, when we're to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. A lot of people think so. Some people want to preach that the only way you can get to hell is get baptized in the Holy Spirit. This isn't happening, people. That's not what it is. So you have to understand, and if you're doing the baptizing in water, you have to understand that when you put the person all the way under the water, and then you bring them back up. Now, in these days, you got to be careful, you know. OSHA and all kinds of laws and everything. You don't want to drown the person. So you got to be at least understanding that you do it and so that they... Yeah, but just going underwater and come back up, go swimming all the time, you should be able to handle that. So you know, if you're getting baptized, you know, and you say, I want to get baptized, you go to your pastor and set it all ritual with lots of people, you get a little baptism certificate and everything, and make it kind of neat, and then later on in life you can take it out or you can put it on your wall and use it as a testimony, saying, look, I got it because I believed it. You know, it's not just something for show, it's actually something you did in faith in Jesus Christ. It's kind of neat. I got my little baptism thing. Well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Baptized in water. And so there's the baptism in water is, you know, you could do it any time. And there don't need to be any particular qualification that you have, except that you believe in Jesus. And that you at least somehow know what you're doing in that it's the death, burial, and resurrection that you're symbolizing here when you put the person underwater and bring them back up. But this part is pretty flexible. The thief on the cross didn't get baptized in water. It didn't stop him. Didn't stop one of them from getting to heaven because that one just asked Jesus to remember him. He didn't say, Jesus, I believe that you're the Son of God, forgive me of my sins. No, he said, Jesus, will you remember me when you get over there? And Jesus said, this day. You know, so salvation went to this thief on the cross. And he didn't really send his prayer a really good sinner's prayer that we like, but he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. Though it wasn't completely spoken, it was spoken in that he said, will you remember me? And so this is a confession to all the people watching, because you believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ. Then when you confess him with your mouth, that brings the salvation on. So you could believe that Jesus is the Christ, but if you never said a word, never did anything to demonstrate anything of any kind to anybody else, you haven't quite sealed your salvation, as it were. And so, the thief on the cross there said, "Remember me," in front of all the crowd watching these people getting killed up there on the cross. And so, didn't need to be baptized. You don't need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people think getting baptized in the Holy Spirit is actually getting demon-possessed or you're speaking in tongues of Satan. It's really kind of interesting because I've heard of an awful lot in my life that a lot of people really actually think that speaking in tongues is satanic, it's tongues of demons. The only way that we've ever even known anything about demons speaking, basically, is because we watch The Exorcist or something, or see all these demon movies where you see all these people somehow get radically possessed, and then all of a sudden their face turn really scary looking, and then they start talking in some much deeper voice than the original person and everything. And so, you know, this is the only exposure to anything that we know of, us, Satan, speaking in any kind of language through anybody. And so how are you going to be judging what Satan does or demons do in speaking through somebody? Just because they don't say what you like? Or because it's tongues and they say they're baptized with the Holy Spirit? And I mean, it's kind of interesting to try to analyze the reason behind why some people think that speaking in tongues are demons. You turn on the Christian networks and everything, and you listen to them, you go to all the churches and everything, and you walk all around. Where is this ability that you have to figure out tongues between God and Satan, which one it is? There isn't really any real live evidence, as it were, of demons speaking in other tongues, unless you go into these channeling things that people like to talk to. They're talking to masters on the other side, or some alien on the other side, or some guru up there in La La Land that goes through somebody. Now, if you want to get into any kind of real life demon type of situation, then you're probably dealing with this kind of thing. They're not channeling some master, they have to be channeling a demon. Now, this still is confusing, because it is confusing. If you listen to any of these kinds of things and whatever, you could go bonkers because of the information being passed on. They don't ever go out and tell you they're Satan, or they don't say that I'm a demon. They give them you some sort of name, and maybe even some place where they're from or something, and they're giving you all this wisdom, or you know, you have a whole bunch of possibilities out there in a place you can't see. So you have to nitpick through a lot of this stuff to try to figure out what it is that you're not able to see. And the best guide is the Bible. Generally, you can start out by saying that if it isn't something from God based on Scripture, then it must be something from Satan, even if it's from man, because man and the world as it was is sort of like Satan's right now for the time being, with permission from God. And so, that if it isn't, you know, this is where Bush might have something right, if he was God, but he's not God, so he can't possibly have it right. He said, "You're either on my side or you're against me." Well, this in Christianity, this is what's actually true. You're either on Jesus' side or you're on the Satan's side. You choose Jesus. You only choose him because you're given that opportunity to understand that he's the Christ. Because the Holy Spirit draws you to this idea that Jesus is the Christ. Then you can make your choice to choose him and pray a sinner's prayer of some sort, saying, "Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, that God rose you on the third day, that you died on the cross for my sins, paying the price. So forgive me of my sins and come to my life. You can make this choice and ask for this forgiveness and ask Jesus to come in. And Jesus will then save you, give you eternal life. And there are conditions. You've got to maintain your faith. You've got to keep believing in Him. And so the other side of it is you're not choosing Jesus. And so there's only one type of place you can go to. It's kind of an irony, you know. In a way, Christians can have a really bad name because they could say that if you don't know Jesus, then you belong to Satan, that you're of the devil or something. And you know, the irony of it is it's true. No matter what else you believe, no matter if you're an atheist, no matter if you're of any other god, the big one that we get to hear in the news today is Allah and Muslims and stuff. You know, on the one hand, it seems pretty bad because it's like we're condemning them all. You know, the same way that a lot of you Christians condemn gays. You just lump all 630 million gays in the world and say that they're the sodomites, which happens to be the Bible definition of the word sodomite, is male temple prostitutes. So a Christian just will say, the reason gays are going to hell is because they're male temple prostitutes. Because that's what the word you use in the Bible. And so Christians have to spend a lot of time figuring out how they can talk to people that aren't Christian so their first message doesn't have to necessarily seem like you're going to hell unless you know Jesus. So we always have to be busy trying to be Mr. Nice Guy and politically correct and able to speak to everybody in such a way that we don't have to offend them, when in actuality, we better figure out something pretty quick because they're going to go to hell, right? So, baptism in water, anybody can do. But baptism in the Holy Spirit, this is something different. And this is something good. Every Christian should seek this. You see, something happens. You can ask Jesus. You don't need anybody whatsoever to get you to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's not healing. People don't have gifts of healing and lay hands on you and you get the baptism in the Holy Spirit, although it can happen this way. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that Jesus does, not man. Man can assist, and this is why we have some meetings that they're talking about the Holy Spirit. You want to receive the Holy Spirit, and then they lay hands and somebody says, receive the Holy Spirit. And so you've seen it happen right there. You might get confused and say, hey, you have to lay hands on and receive the Holy Spirit. And you can read the Bible. I believe there's some indication there that laying a hands on and they receive the Holy Spirit. It doesn't say this is how you do it. There is many ways to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And it doesn't matter how old you are. You can be one, that was a long time ago. Some girl around 12 or 13 once, can't even remember the circumstances of them. It might have been from somebody else, but she was out camping with her family and she woke up in the middle of the night speaking in other tongues. And I think it was probably a testimony on TVN once, a decade and a half ago or so, that I heard it, now that I recall. And I've talked to lots of people and I have my own experience of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I've gone to Assembly of Gods and many kinds of churches very similar to the Assembly of Gods. I've been out in the Indian Reservation and many other places, and I've seen things like this happen. And so, the Bible doesn't say a particular rule except that Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. And so you would want this, for one thing. You don't have to necessarily want it because Jesus will do it whether you want it or not sometime. And no matter how you're trying to explain this, it's going to happen to you. You know, we're trying to make everything work and say, no, this is the rule. This is, We love to make rules. It has to be this way or the highway, you know. Well, Jesus isn't this way or the highway kind of person. In fact, if you any time you want to get closer to Jesus and you think you've found a way, Jesus is not going to do that. He's going to just not do that necessarily. There's some things that will be pretty standard and consistent, but there's other things that you got to figure a new way. He wants to talk to you. He wants to hear what you have to say. He wants you to explain things to him and all this kind of stuff. He thinks it's pretty neat. We think it's pretty neat when we see hear little kids. They're sitting there. You know, the other day I was waiting for my car to get fixed, and there's a little tiny, I don't know how, 3-year-old, 4-year, and the mother's hardly even talking. I'm kind of looking, and I say, boy, that person sure understands a lot. Doesn't all these kinds of stuff and this little intelligent stuff coming out of there, and I'm saying, you know, this is pretty fantastic, amazing kind of stuff that I'm hearing. How does such a person so young seem to be so smart? And it's more that we're enjoying listening to this in a good kind of way than it is than we don't know what we're anything, and so we're learning a great deal. We can learn, of course, from anybody. God likes to hear us and see how we behave ourselves in conversations with Him and everything, and wants things to be different. You want to try to get things to Him, you know, you tell Him a few things that may sound good to Him, and He likes it. And you can know it too. That part of that is the Holy Spirit. You get to be able to feel Jesus' emotions a lot and how He's feeling and so forth. And it's kind of neat. But there's always a change. He wants you to get deeper with Him and not just sit in the same ritual. You're gonna be in Christ Jesus as much as you're sitting in your own rituals to Him. If you're ever modifying your behavior to Him, you've seen the Bible as a guide, so you don't go off radical. Some people go off pretty radical. You're going to be having a more interesting relationship with Jesus, more better. When you ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit, sometimes you may not necessarily feel it, but it's... See, what happens when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, in a way, it's like when you get healed. If you've ever been miraculously healed, you feel it because you're sick and then you're well, you know. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? You're hurting and all kinds of pain, and then the next thing all you know is floods of joy and all that kind of stuff, you know. Pretty dramatically different when you get healed. Well, you're baptized, the Holy Spirit can come upon you, and you can speak a different language. Doesn't mean you learn the language, doesn't mean you understand the language. It means that you speak a different language, and it's your vocal cords, so you're going to have to speak it. It's your will. You speak it, and let it come out. It will come out. Ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And you could ask somebody to lay hands on you so that you can receive the Holy Spirit. If you don't know Jesus, turn to Him and say, Jesus, I believe that You're the Son of God. Forgive me of my sins and come into my life. I believe God rose you on the third day. A simple prayer gets you saved. If you have a point of pain in your body, put your hand on that right now. Got your hand on there? In Jesus' name be healed. Tune in each week. Talk to you later.